The weekend is near and the next round of footy is finally upon us. And your ultimate guide to all the upcoming action lies within the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker. Welcome to Match Committee.
The tipping nightmare in the 2017 AFL season continues. So we're going to try our best here in the Thursday Match Committee to get you back on the straight path. The Cats and the Bulldogs take on each other. Big Friday night game. What about the Saints and the Swans? A huge opportunity for St Kilda to really announce themselves. And of course, the Giants and the Tigers. And we all know what happened the last time those two sides met. Will we see the same? I don't think so. But we'll leave it up to the Thursday Match Committee to decide that in the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker ahead of Round 9. G'day everyone, I'm Ben Waterworth. And a very, very large panel has assembled here in the Fox Footy Podcast Bunker to take a look at Round 9. Firstly, let's welcome aspiring West Coast number one ticket holder, Drew Jones. Hello, Drew. From Fox Sports News.
G'day, Ben. You've come to the right man for tipping. Ninth in the original cafe. Really flying high. And just a question from Jules and I. Large in terms of rotund or height, or what are you getting at?
There's a lot more people in this office who are large in terms of rotund, so more in terms of profile, I would have thought. And they don't come any bigger in terms of profile than the Stoop man, Julian De Stoop, who's just come back from Shanghai and did a magnificent job over there across all kinds of platforms. Hello, Jules.
Ni hao, Ben. Ni hao, Drew. Good to be back.
How was your? Did you pick up a lot of Mandarin while you were over there, did you?
Apart from ni hao and sisi, which is thank you. Yes. Not a lot. No, good city. They're interesting, the Chinese. Not much spatial awareness, and the trains are busy, and sometimes the hygiene's not great. But apart from that, a great city.
What was the highlight of your trip, and probably what was the most bizarre thing that you encountered while you were over there as well?
I think, as I wrote in one of the articles, that there's a big mall, very similar to Bourke Street, and there was a little boy, probably three. He was just weeing. Like, in the middle of the mall, and no one batted an eyelid. I don't know where his parents were. There was a couple of people watching, and it was like it was normal. So that was very strange.
Extraordinary situation.
Very strange. Highlight, the Bund is a great area. It's like a big south bank. It looks over all the high rises on the other side of the river that lights up at night. A bit like Hong Kong, if you've ever been to Hong Kong. So yeah, it's a good city, worth a visit.
What about the game? The game was great. Wasn't great, and not a great spectacle on that Sunday.
The game was terrible. It was a bit like local footy. Like, you're sitting in the stands, you could hear the players calling, you could hear the slap of the bodies. There wasn't a great atmosphere. So everything else about it, I think, was good. The week, the build-up, the city, the ground was in beautiful condition. And it was an interesting sort of ground. But, yeah, it's a shame the Gold Coast was so bad, because I think a lot of people thought it might be a pretty good game. But the Suns, you could tell 10, 15 minutes in, it was going to be pretty one-sided.
Well, both of those teams have the weekend off for Round 9 after the China game. So eight games. It feels like we're back all the way back in 2013, actually, that we're back to eight games. But let's have a look at, firstly, the Match Committee big call for the weekend. Drews, starting with you. Any player from any club who should be dropped / picked ahead of the weekend?
Yeah, deliberated over this one for a while, and I think you'll find this one quite interesting, Ben.
Yes.
I think that Geelong should go a little younger in defence, and Tom Lonergan should have a spell in the VFL.
Oh, Tom Lonergan be dropped or managed?
I think Jake Colajasny, Lockie Henderson and Mark Blitzar should go to a tall defender, reshape that back line.
That's interesting. I don't mind that. I think Jake Colajasny is a guy that's got plenty of potential. Hopefully Henderson comes back into the side as well. He's going to be given to the last minute. What about you, Jules? Big call?
I think Andrew Swallow should come back for North this week. I think we've seen it. Maybe some of those young North mids are getting tired. And playing a Melbourne team, good midfield, but it's not that quick. And they've got some bulls like Viney in there, Oliver. So I think it's a good game for Andrew Swallow to return and just to give some of those young mids a chop out. And he's played okay in the VFL, and I think it's a good week for him to come back.
Lock that in.
Lock it in. Thank you, Druza, for the exclusive there. The post-game predicted headlines. So after any game this weekend, what's the headline, Drew, that we're going to be reading this weekend?
The Saintly Dream.
The Saintly Dream.
St Kilda. The top four hopes.
And Saintly
rising.
The great horse was put into the Hall of Fame this week. So that's quite timely.
Very timely.
Don't think we'll see a picture of Saintly next to the article anyway. But what about you, Drew? Julian?
Cats make a stand. So double meaning there, yes. They're going to come out, they're going to be hard. And of course, it's a big night at the Cattery. First of three home games. The new grandstand is open. And I think on form, you'd say they won't win. But I've got a feeling Geelong will really respond and probably have a win tomorrow night.
That's not the Stephen Wells grandstand, is it?
It should be named after him, to be honest.
Well, should it? This leads us into a beautiful segue, actually, into the Geelong v Western Bulldogs game. Geelong have won the past 10 games between these two sides, and the Dogs haven't won at Cadinia Park since 2003. But the Dogs, you'd think, would be favourites because Geelong's form in recent weeks has been pretty ordinary. David King strong last night on the drafting that Geelong has done over recent years, and it almost feels blasphemous to question Stephen Wells in this situation. But we were talking about it a little bit off-air beforehand, Jules. Are you a little concerned about how Geelong's drafted maybe in the past 3-4 years?
It's been interesting, hasn't it? It's been a different strategy, but surely Stephen Wells has been a bit hamstrung by the fact that they have bought in players from other clubs and given up draft picks to do that. Now, I think that would probably, the way most clubs work, that would be coming more from the senior coach than Stephen Wells himself. So I think he has been a little bit hamstrung, but he just hasn't found those nuggets that he has in the past. He's actually gone more for their VFL players. And probably the jury's out on some of them. I like Stewart. I think he's going to be a pretty reasonable player. But a few of the others haven't quite kicked on yet. So, but still, he's done some wonderful things for those clubs.
Interesting tactic to top up from with mature age players from the VFL. You know what you're going to get and you've trained them in your style. But the ceiling is not high. If they come in and they don't make an impact, then it's unlikely that they're going to sort of in 2 years' time all of a sudden be an AFL-ready player. But are you thinking along the lines of some of their mid-size, like Cockatoo, Gregson, Lang, like that they haven't come on?
Well, maybe that's been the problem. They probably thought we've got the nucleus there with the Selwood, Dangerfield, Hawkins, etc. And then we've got some good, well, they thought they had some good kids and we can just put some players on the fringes. But the problem is, as Drew mentioned, you know, Lang's been inconsistent. Gregson's been injured. I think Cockatoo will get there. So, you know, Menzel missed a lot of footy as well. So maybe that has been the problem, more that the young kids haven't quite delivered yet.
Menegola's probably been the find out of everyone.
And he was an upgraded rookie last year after being a rookie with two other clubs as well. The thing that's concerned most commentators throughout the past few weeks, in the last 3 weeks, is how the Cats are just getting sliced through the middle. And Champion Data released during the week that Geelong has conceded 174 points from the defensive half, which is almost 5 or 6 goals worse than the next worst, which is the Brisbane Lions, who are coming at 17th position. So Mackie, Lonergan, Taylor get a fair bit of stick, but it doesn't. You could put Stephen Silvani or Matthew Scarlett even back there. It's still not going to help because it seems like it's a structural / attitude kind of problem.
It's funny though, because Geelong had such a good balance last year. They were right up there in terms of time and forward half. I think they're number one. Defensively, they were really strong. Probably their attack was a little bit down. So as Chris Scott tried to change the way they play a little bit too dramatically, and it's opened them up at the other end.
It feels like that. They've gone from first to 18th in a lot of those mark play on kind of statistics as well, which is a big shame. The tackle count has been a big talking point this week. Another big talking point, Druser, has been Mark Blitzarves, who tweeted this out in December, officially announcing my retirement from the game effective immediately. #3'sacrowd @SeatJobs. It's almost spooky that tweet's come out because Blitz looks a little bit lost on the footy field at the moment. They can't seem to find the right position for him.
Yeah, I read the article that you wrote about this, Ben. Very good for
me. Thank you, Drew.
But yeah, I guess it makes sense. He was excellent in that role. I mean, it's amazing to think he's a best and fairest winner the way he's playing at the moment. But Chris Scott did flag that they see him potentially long-term as a tall defender, which is why I threw his name up earlier in that mix.
Put him down back, you reckon that can give him a new sense of life, a new lease of life?
Well, I don't think they can right now because they've got too many tall defenders to pick from, but I think maybe long term that's something they see doing with him.
Is it long term time to play Henderson as a forward? I know there's a few commentators big on that. Leave Taylor back, maybe put Blitzarves down there and play Henderson, because Tom Hawkins has been great this year. He's his 2 goals off the Coleman medal, and Menzel's a good support act. They still haven't found that second key forward to help him out. And I just want to cool your jets on Blitzarves. I thought his first 5 rounds were really good. And the team's been poor the last 3 weeks, and he's been poor. So I'm not sure his career's in as big as trouble as some people are suggesting.
Yes, Kane Corn certainly thought on the weekend that he was in some strife. On Henderson, I thought he was actually Geelong's best tall defender during those opening 5 rounds. Lonergan and obviously Taylor played predominantly forward, and Lonergan probably wasn't as impressive. So there's this interesting conundrum that the Cats have, Druser.
Is that third tall forward, or is Henderson sort of the second tall one? Is that the hardest position almost in the AFL? Because you're never going to kick 6 because you're not going to get the ball kicked to every time. So if you kick 2 goals and have 11 possessions, that's almost a good game. But on the stat sheet, it looks terrible.
Yeah, that's all you need to do, though. I mean, I think taking him back to Essendon, and that's what Cale Hooker's doing. And people think he's struggling a bit, but he's doing his job. He's competing, he's kicking a couple of goals, taking some marks, and that's all you really need to do. So it's probably not the most glamorous position, but I think this is the whole problem with Geelong, isn't it? They can't settle their side down. There's always three or four changes. The bottom six, they can't get that mix right. Players are out of form. Yeah, there's a couple there like McCarthy that would be playing that's injured. Like, it's just not a very settled side at the moment.
Always comes back to Essendon, of course, doesn't it, Jules? Yes. Speaking of changes, we're probably going to see a fair few ins, I think, for the Bulldogs. I think Bob Murphy's a definite in, and Dale Morris very likely to come in there, Druser. But Cloke, Jordan Ruffhead, maybe even Mitch Wallace would be a great story. He's been in sensational VFL form over the past few weeks or so. We could see a pretty different-looking dog side on Friday night.
Yeah, there have been reports that Wallace is a lock to come in. I'm not sure about that, you know, officially. Ruffhead, I think Bevo sort of basically said he needs at least another week to get fully match fit. And with Boyd doing a fairly good job in the ruck, that's understandable. The interesting one is Morris will come back for sure. Is how they fit Cloke in. Redpath came back after just one game in the VFL, coming off his third knee reco, kicked three goals, looked really good.
And featured in Good News Week, of course.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So how do you, is Cloke, Ruffhead, Boyd, Redpath, they all going to fit in the same team?
It's amazing. Well, when was the last time we were talking about there's too many tall players in the Bulldogs lineup, Jules?
I can't remember.
Not since Scott Welsh was at the
Bulldogs. Scott Welsh, Barry Hall, that sort of combination. Look, I don't think Cloke plays this week. I think Dixon plays. Right. They held him back from the VFL last week. I think he's a really important player to them, Torrey Dixon. He's a really good pressure player. He's a very good kick for goal. And I reckon not many people talk about him, but I think they've missed him. He was great in the finals for them last year. I think they've really missed him this year. They haven't got that forward set up right, probably because of personnel. Cramery's hardly played. Cloke got injured. Dixon hasn't played. And obviously Boyd's had to play ruck because Ruffhead's been injured. But I think Dixon's a really important player for the Dogs to get back, and I think he'll come back this week.
Of course, the Cats and the Dogs playing for the Stephen King Cup on Friday night. Stephen King, former Geelong Ruckman and Western Bulldogs assistant coach there, Jules.
Now, I saw you did this, so I thought I'd just throw up some alternative cups.
Yes, go for it.
This week is the Tim Callan Trophy.
Oh, that's a better one. That's a much better one. I like that, Jules. Let's go on to the St Kilda and Sydney one, and really wouldn't... it'd be remiss of us not to call it the Tony Lockett Trophy, being the champion that he was.
Sean Dempster.
Oh, that's a very good one. Like that one.
I thought the Troy Gray Cup.
Troy Gray?
Do you remember that? Troy Gray?
No, I don't.
Yeah, he's playing with the Swans, went into the Saints late 90s. Yeah, he's now a broadcaster, I think, over in Adelaide.
South Australian boy. Probably just a bit past us, Druser, maybe. But nonetheless, you're bullish on the Saints this week. You think they've got a big chance.
Yeah, I love the way they play. Their midfield depth, really good. Their defence has held up really strongly. Jake Carlisle and Nathan Brown have been two really good ins for them. Dylan Robertson, probably all-Australian halfback flank at the moment. He's playing really great footy. Interesting one for me is to see what they do with their forward line. Paddy McCartan had another really good week in the VFL.
Josh, talk Bruce out, McCartan in this week.
Yeah, Bruce has struggled a little bit, but again, we've talked about the fact that sometimes you don't have to kick five goals to do your job as one of those second or third bananas in the forward line. But, I mean, how long are they going to let Paddy bang down the door? Something's got to give. So that'll be interesting to see who they bring in.
It's a great problem to have for St Kilda, isn't it? They can really keep all those forwards on edge because one has to miss out. And you've got a number one draft pick killing it in the VFL. So pressure on Membry, pressure on Bruce, no pressure on Riewoldt. He's always going to play. So I think it's a good week to get Paddy back in and see what he can do.
And the Saints have got a very healthy list. According to champion data, the Saints' best 22 only have missed a combined total of 16 games, which is number one in the competition. So they're going quite nicely at the moment. But the Swans have also probably just hit some form in the past couple of weeks. Granted that it was against the Brisbane Lions at the SCG and North Melbourne at Etihad Stadium last week. It was just flat. So are you still not convinced by the Swans in that sense, Jules?
No. They beat the Saints, I'll be thinking they're back in town, but I don't think they will. I think the Saints are improving by the week. They probably weren't great last week, but they got the job done. And I think your point's valid on the run sheet there. They can be a top four team. Like, it's so open this year, and these are the games they need to win, and they've got a shocking record against the Swans, but I think they'll turn it around this week.
That's the evenness of the competition, Druser, in terms of sides like St Kilda or even a Port Adelaide, who we weren't sure on pre-season, but statistically are playing very well. On their day, they can beat anyone, and they can seriously push for a top four position.
Absolutely, and people players and coaches allude to it every week, how you only got to be a couple of percent off. Interesting, or not... probably almost obvious, is that Sydney's good players have played well over the last 2 weeks. That's why they've won. Kennedy's been getting the footy. Parker and Hannabry have been much better. There's talk around about Sydney making the finals. Forget about it. 0-6.
Forget about it.
Oh, well, but in this year's comp, they get this one, they're back to 3-6.
I think the evenness of the comp works against them. There's no easy wins. You can't lock any in.
No, but I think with their quality, they can go on a run.
Okay. Oh, we disagree there, Jules.
Yes.
So we're at round 9, and Sydney have won 2 games. They would have to win another 10 at the absolute minimum, 11.
Oh, I think you can get in with 12 this year.
Right.
Yeah. Because this team, as Drew mentioned, teams are dropping games everywhere. So I don't think it's going to be high numbers to finish 8th.
There could be 5 teams on 12 and 10 at the end of the year, and it'll just be percentage.
On to the Byron Pickett Cup between Melbourne and North Melbourne. Any alternatives here, Jules?
Alistair Clarkson Cup.
Oh, well, this goes without saying. You should have done the run sheet beforehand, I think. The Jesse Hogan cancer scare was dropped after the Monday podcast, so we can probably have a little bit of a chat about that now. And Josh Marnie, I think, handled himself so well on Tuesday. The quote that stood out to me was that we've seen a 22-year-old mature before our very eyes, talking about not only how Jesse's handled his latest scare, but a couple of weeks beforehand, obviously losing his dad to the same disease, albeit in a different way. I think it puts the Demons' win over Adelaide, Jules, in a much greater perspective.
Oh, absolutely. And they did play with an attitude, didn't they? And it sort of makes sense now. Obviously, the news came through before the game, and Jack Viney revved them up before the game. And they're 28 points down. You wouldn't have given them any chance. But they were ferocious. And it'll be interesting to see how they respond this week, because that was a bit of an emotional game for them, and we've seen them drop a couple of games they shouldn't. But on a wider scale, and we talked about it a few weeks ago, gee, Simon Goodwood's had some stuff thrown at him for a first-year coach. Hogan's dad, now Hogan's illness, Max Gawn, players suspended. It has been a really tough start, and I think the fact they're 4-4 is actually a pretty good effort. I know they've dropped a couple of games they shouldn't, but I think it's a really exciting second half of the year coming up for Melbourne.
Well, it's an interesting you mentioned that they've dropped a couple of games they probably shouldn't, because the old Melbourne, Drews, over Jesse Hogan situation aside, the old Melbourne would probably lose this game to North Melbourne this weekend. They proved it against Hawthorn a couple of weeks ago. How confident are you that this is not going to be the Melbourne of old on Sunday?
Yeah, I think they're nearly there. Interestingly, going into the season, I thought that Melbourne were probably at the maturity level that we're seeing St Kilda at the moment. I thought they would they'd just taken that step.
Always been compared, those two.
Yeah, exactly. And at times this season, we have seen them take just little steps back. But maybe this might act as almost a circuit breaker for them, where it actually pushes the team onto that next level of maturity, having to deal with so much. Maybe in the long run, will be good for them. And I think they've responded well, as we saw in Adelaide, and I'd expect them to continue to play good footy.
I think they're a sneaky chance for the flag, Melbourne.
Sneaky chance for the flag?
I think they've got a lot of bases covered, and the upside is enormous in the second half of the year. In this even year, they could sneak into the top 4 and give themselves a chance. I'm really impressed with Melbourne.
What do they feed you over there in Shanghai?
Dumplings, wontons. But no, I think they are. I genuinely think they might be the 4th best team in the competition.
Right. No, it's a big call, Jules. I'll tell the producer to hit record and play that back a couple of times throughout the season. We might be expecting a game from the Alistair Clarkson era, actually, on the weekend, because North Melbourne and Melbourne have had shootouts in their last 3 games. Obviously, the last time they played was the infamous Blundstone Arena game, where Brent Harvey kicked 5 goals. Max Gawn and Todd Goldstein went head-to-head and had Supercoach users absolutely in a frenzy. What about North Melbourne this weekend? They thump Adelaide 1 week and then they lose to the Swans the next. It almost epitomises the evenness of the competition to a certain extent, Druza.
Absolutely, and probably a reflection on where the footy club's at in terms of turning over a lot of their veterans, bringing in their young guys. And we've seen that inconsistency probably throughout the year. They're unlucky to lose games earlier in the year. They probably should have been 2-3, say, after 5 rounds instead of 0-5. Jared Waite's a pretty big in for them. Gives Melbourne something to worry about. I mean, he's played 2 games this year and has had, 15 shots a goal or something. So, yeah, he looks like, in really dangerous touch when he's out there. We'd expect Swallow to come back in. So, a bit of experience for them, which will help them.
Yeah, I think the Waite one's really interesting, because I heard a few suggestions this week that Tom McDonald could play forward with Hogan out, but I don't think they can do that now. With Brown and Waite, I think he has to go back. And so that makes it interesting. Maybe a little bit less flexibility for Melbourne's forward line if Tom has to play back all game.
Essendon take on West Coast on Sunday. This is a huge game, and it's ironic that I've got both of you in the studio with the best on ground in this game playing for the Sheedy Mitchell White medal.
What about the DeStoop Jones medal?
Well, I thought of that, but I thought in honour of the great man, it has to be the Ilya Grigic Cup.
Ilya Grigic. Wow, I'll be looking him up on the AFL tables a little bit later on. I suppose before we get into the game, what a magnificent achievement by Eleni Glossis to become the first female umpire to officiate in an AFL game, Jules.
This is a great story, and it's probably been overshadowed a bit, hasn't it, because of all the dramas in the with the sledging in that Carlton St Kilda game. But yeah, this is a monumental story, isn't it, really, when we've seen female goal umpires, which is a great achievement, but her development really quickly and a senior female umpire is huge. So good luck to her on the weekend. And Eleni, if you're listening, just a little couple of sneaky ones for the Bombers wouldn't hurt your cause.
Druza?
I don't know how to respond to that. No, echo your sentiments other than the last bit. I think she has risen very quickly. She was doing some, I think, was it VFL last season?
Yep, and done a few VFL games this year. And I watched her a couple of weeks ago and she's you don't notice her, which is what you want from umpires.
Yeah. Perfect.
So I suppose a big thing for Eleni will be fitness, because trying to keep up with the blokes is physically going to be quite difficult. So hopefully she has said, and so has Hayden Kennedy said, that you know, her fitness has improved a lot this year. So all the best to Eleni. But onto the game. What do we make of the Eagles so far this season, Druza? They've lost just two games and they've both been at the MCG, unfortunately. But they're third on the ladder and they have the third best defence in the competition. They're going okay statistically.
Yeah, doing a lot of things right, which is good. They, when they were a bit flat earlier in the year, they won a couple of games. Maybe they shouldn't have. But clearly, you know, you can say both losses are at the MCG, but they just played horribly those 2 days. Maybe in the wet against Richmond, it could have gone either way. But we recovered pretty well from that loss to Hawthorn.
Sorry?
We.
Right, gotcha. Yeah. Just checking. That, I heard that right.
That happens pretty
happens
often.
Regularly.
Right, yes, gotcha.
Really impressive against Port Adelaide, given how good they've been this year, and good to bank another win on the weekend. So,
is it time to give Jack Darling a rest in the waffle?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would consider even trying him as an extra midfielder, putting him around the ball.
Right, I don't mind that.
Using his physical traits, which he has. He's quick, but he looks slow. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And he's, he's strong and he could perhaps could offer something different around the ball. But yeah, he looks a bit all at sea at the moment, doesn't he?
He does. And Jared Healy's was big a couple of weeks ago, actually, in putting Darling in the middle to use that physicality. It's a funny one with Darling. It's like we talk about teams' best and worst form. Like, Darling's quickest and he's slowest. There's such a big chasm between that. Well, that's what it seems like. On the Dons, and rightly so, that I think Geelong's performance was the bigger issue to come out of Saturday night's game, because they were really poor. But Essendon showed just how brilliant they can be when their game's going. Danaher was buddy-like. I think that's we can see the comparisons now. But Michael Hurley, since Anzac Day, Jules, he's close to the best-performed key defender in the competition, I think.
His last 3 weeks have been outstanding. The combination of his intercept marking, and he's a beautiful user out of the back half. So I think it's really important. I mean, Hurley's Essendon's best defender, so logic would say he goes and plays on Josh Kennedy, but that takes away his intercept ability. So I think Michael Hartley was good last year. I think he's struggled this year. I mean, and Fremantle, he was badly beaten by Tabiner and McCarthy. And last week, Hawkins got on top of him. So if he can actually shut down Kennedy, or at least break even, it allows Hurley to do what he's best at, and that is just intercept and create play from halfback. He's back in that All-Australian form from 2015. He's playing great footy.
And that's why it'll be hard for Adam Simpson to take Darling out of that forward line, because you've got to, like you say,
you've got to make him accountable.
Yeah, you've got to make Hurley actually defend and not get into a situation where he can use his offensive skills.
At the other end of the ground, Essendon's forward line, I can't remember the last time, maybe since the Lloyd and Lucas, Gary Moorcroft kind of days, where they had so much synergy inside that forward line, because they're 17th for inside 50 differential, the Bombers, but they're first for scores per inside 50. They're making the most of their opportunities, and every time the ball goes down there, they're dangerous, Jules.
Yeah, for years Essendon's been toothless in attack. I mean, Danaher was the first player to kick over 40 goals in about 10 years last year. And it's been a great transformation, because the personnel is not much different, really. Hooker's come in and Green's come in, but all the players there, like Tip and Woody, Fantasia, Danaher, were there last year. But last week, you just thought every time they moved the ball forward to centre, they were a chance to score. So they've really turned that forward line around. The worry is, though, they're still not getting it in there quite enough. And if that efficiency drops off a little bit, they're probably going to get hurt at the other end.
I'm a big rack for James Stewart. I used to watch him a bit at GWS, because when I was working in Sydney, I'd watch GWS games. And I was always impressed with him. I could never understand why Collingwood didn't take him father son. And then I thought clubs like, particularly Carlton, should have had a bigger crack at him to get him in. I think he's a really good player. He's good below his knees for 198 centimetres, can clunk a mark, and has got a beautiful left foot kick. And he could be a perfect foil for Danaher.
Yeah, the knock on him has been probably he could be a little bit tougher and his second efforts haven't been great, but I thought he was pretty good last week. He laid a few tackles. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. They made him wait a while for a game and people thought maybe you can't play the three tools. But as Drew said, Danaher and Stewart are very mobile for their size. So I think he can play the three in the one side.
Now, we always tell our listeners and viewers and readers to gamble responsibly, but is there a bet potentially going on between the two of you here for the Essendon West Coast game? Has there been one talked about in the office, or are we making one live and free and exclusive here on the Fox Footy podcast?
Yeah, I think six-pack of the winner's choice is fair.
Yeah.
It's a 50-50 game.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Should be at the G, really. Yeah. I mean, then we'd be certainties. Eddie had West Coast play quite well, unfortunately.
If you wind it back a year, the bet was over under 10 goals.
Wow.
If you remember
over
correctly.
Perth.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought I was home there. Yeah. The last quarter.
You kick 8-0 in the last quarter.
Right. On to the Loney Trophy in remembrance of Nathan and Ryan Loney from Collingwood and Hawthorn. Have you got a better one than that?
Clinton Young.
Oh, that's not bad, Jules. Pies are 2-6, but are probably one of the best 17th place teams for quite some time. They've got a percentage of 91 at the moment, and they've got the 12th best percentage in the competition. So it's a fascinating situation for Nathan Buckley. And Mark McClure very strong last night on 360 saying it could be catastrophic if Buckley loses this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know about catastrophic. I still think I agree with Jared Healy. It's a July, August kind of situation if it gets to that. I don't buy in necessarily to the best 17th place team of all time.
Right.
I think you just gotta win games when you're in them, and they've thrown away a couple of games they should have won. So they're there because that's where they're at the moment. And it isn't even competition, so you've got to get the wins when they're there.
Well, I think if the Collingwood that played the Giants turns up, they win. But if the Collingwood that played Carlton the week before turns up, they lose. And that's the problem. You don't know what you're going to get every week. But I think, yeah, they're better than a 17th place side. But I feel like we've been saying that about Collingwood for 4 years. Oh, they've got more talent. They should be better than they are. But as Drew said, the ladder doesn't lie.
No, it doesn't. It's going to be tough for the Hawks as well because they dealt some very big injury blows at the start of the week with Cyril Rioli, Ben Stratton and James Frawley all missing. And just quickly before we get into our tips, the Jacob Townsend Trophy, GWS in Richmond. I think he's the only Giants Tigers player.
He's Anthony
completely
Miles.
Disrespectful to the great Brett Deledio.
Oh, of course. He hasn't even played a game.
Anthony Miles.
Oh, snipper. Yeah.
Yes.
I think he's the most obscure Jacob Townsend, so he gets the chocolates there. Just on Deledio, Leon Cameron talked about him last night. Will we see him play for the Giants this year?
I still think back half, he's a chance. Last 6 weeks, but it's like talking about Harley Bennell. Who knows?
Imagine bringing in Brett Deledio round 18.
Oh, just pretty nice,
just
isn't it?
Prime him for finals.
At the moment, the Giants haven't been totally convincing, but you'd still say they're the best team in the competition, sort of looking at it. It's that weird kind of a feeling. Toby Green comes back from suspension this week, which is huge, Druza, because they have missed him the past couple of weeks.
He's a gun. Definitely the best mid-sized forward in the competition. And I'll tell you who might be the best player in the comp right now. Josh Kelly.
Wow, good call.
He was unbelievable against Collingwood. He didn't have an ineffective kick until 10 minutes to go in the last quarter. And they had one rotation left in the last term with Cornelio off, and he was getting to every contest. Yeah, he's unreal.
Does Rance play on Patton or Cameron this week?
He can probably work off Patton a little bit more than he can Cameron, I would have thought. But then who plays on Cameron? Jake Batchelor, maybe?
He's got to get a game first. Well, you wouldn't think Asprey could play on Cameron, and maybe Grimes. But yeah, it's a tough one. Rance is playing great 42.
Grimes has got a bit more pace.
Very
maybe.
Mobile, Grimes.
Yeah, so maybe that's the way to go. And just on Toby Green as well, Nerrily's got a magnificent feature for AFL tonight with Toby Green one-on-one. So we're looking forward to seeing what comes of that. The tips, gentlemen, starting with you, Druza. It's Geelong and the Western Bulldogs for the Tim Callan Cup. Working our way down to Fremantle and Carlton. The Bootsma Memorial Trophy after Brad Bootsma and Josh Bootsma, Druza.
Cats for me, opening the new stand. The Charles Brownlow stand it is, not the Stephen Moore.
Oh, I see. Old Brownlow stand's coming back.
Yes.
In new formation.
Yes.
I'll go the Saints over Sydney, Giants, Adelaide, Hawthorn, West Coast, Melbourne, Fremantle.
I'm sure there'd be a few different there.
I don't know why, but I'm tipping the Cats, Saints. I think it'd be pretty close. He only won 12 of 32 quarters, Richmond. So maybe their record's a bit flattering. So Giants, the Ben Hutson Cup, Brisbane, Adelaide. I'd love to see Adelaide get beaten again, and Tom will be getting really nervous, but I think they'll bounce back pretty strong. Oh, I'm tempted to tip Hawthorn, but I think Collingwood, the Bombers, just Melbourne and Fremantle quite easily.
Very hard to split the sheedy white medal for Best on Ground, the podcast today, gentlemen. I think you might have to, if you can handle sharing that, that'd be magnificent. But well done. That's the Round 9 Thursday match committee done and dusted. We'll be back for the Monday review with Tommy Morris next Monday. Gentlemen, I'm handing the keys over to Tom for about 4 weeks as well. So hopefully, just make sure he just behaves.
I just hope he goes to air.
Talk about Melbourne the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Melbourne and Snowfields and Paran.
And MCC memberships as well. Stay tuned to foxfooty.com.au right throughout the week and check out Druza and Jules on AFL Tonight on Channel 500.